Welcome to Jim Galliano's Building a Better Web Presence podcast. Build something better with less moving parts, less overhead, and less headaches.
All right, welcome back, everyone. This is Jim. Thanks for joining me for today's episode. Now, this is the second episode I'm releasing this year. If you listened to the previous episode that I released back in October, that was the first podcast episode I'd recorded in a year. And if you listen to that, you know that I've spent the past more than 12 months working with some larger clients, focusing on providing marketing strategies, marketing plans, and just diving in deep with that with companies that have larger than average budgets, I'll just put it that way, and helping them grow their businesses. And it was just one of those things where when you look at the total amount of your income, a lot of you have your income coming from a variety of different types of clients. Maybe you have a few higher paying clients, and then maybe you have a whole bunch of lower end products that you sell, but there's a lot of diversity that makes up that 100% of the whole. But what if you could get one company that would pay not just what you're making from all your little pieces combined, but more than that, and then multiply that times three more companies? That was the type of situation that I wound up walking into, starting with one company and then everything spreading out from there. Now, if people are wondering, well, what type of marketing did you do to secure those types of connections? I have to say it was just simple word of mouth marketing, being in this field for so many years. And I've done a lot of, I guess you could call it networking. I really enjoy going out, meeting people, sharing dinners and lunches, and just getting to meet other people in the field, seeing who they're connected to. And I've been doing this for 26 years. These aren't the type of clients that I would have had back in the 90s. I just didn't have enough experience, or at least I didn't believe that I had. And belief plays a huge part in this. Let me just say that right off the bat. Because if you don't believe you can move the needle for a certain client, that will come across. I'm talking about marketing right now, but I could be talking about anything. We could be talking about design, providing a service. If you believe that the people you're serving will be happy with what you're providing for them, then you can ask for a premium price. If you don't have confidence in your skills and your ability, then you're probably going to ask for a lower price. And, you know, I know sometimes this type of making these kinds of statements bother some people, makes some people angry. I know because I was one of those people. One of the things that I realized at the time was that I was dealing with, in the very beginning, some lower end clients that couldn't afford to pay me basically what I was worth. I can see that now in hindsight being 2020. So it wasn't just a matter of not charging enough. Some people say that, or look at this situation of whether I charge more or whether I charge less. Do I provide a variety of stair-step type products where we start with the lower and move people through to the higher end? All of these different ways of doing it. None of them are wrong. None of them are necessarily better than the other. So it comes down to the experience of the person trying to implement the model. And I think that's with a lot of things in life. Some techniques that work really well for some of your friends doing the same thing that you're doing are not going to work as well for you. But at the end of the day, when you hit walls and you experience failure, sometimes what happens is your belief in failure becomes greater than your belief in success, and then your reality begins to reflect that. It's part spiritual, part psychological, and part just natural everyday world that we live in. People are attracted to people that have confidence. Can you fake confidence? You can. I mean, we see it all the time. The people that do it the best are called actors. But there's people who aren't professional actors that do it really well. But if you're projecting something that you're not, sooner or later people are going to discover that there's not substance behind the outward exterior projecting that confidence. So today, I just want to talk to you about some of the topics that I believe will help you. These are things that have helped me over the years. And having been in this space now since the late 1990s, I'm going to tell you that I don't know everything. And if I can say that, having been in this space for as long as I have, then I could say that there isn't a single person out there that knows everything, that understands how every little nuance works. But you can get better advice from people who have been doing it longer. I will say that also. But let me just add a little caveat here. There's a lot of people who no longer do the things that they teach. And I understand that. Nothing against those people, but things have changed so much even in the past 2 or 3 years. Recently, I decided that I wanted to learn about a few other topics that I kind of shied away from, things having to do with paid advertising. And I didn't want to learn from people who had been out of this field for more than 12 to 24 months. And the reason is because things change so rapidly that sometimes a little nuance or understanding that nuance can be the difference between success and failure. And so if you want to learn from somebody how certain types of businesses work, I would say that you're probably do better working with someone who, at the very least, who has at least one foot still in that field, who gets some of their income from actually serving clients. And that's really where the rubber meets the road. Service businesses aren't easy, but then I can just extend that to everything. There isn't a type of business where you're going to make a lot of money that is going to feel easy. Do you know what I mean by feel easy? You know, there's championship fighters out there that go into the ring and they win world titles. There's championship athletes that do the same in every sport. And when they're out there, it looks easy. Maybe even at times it feels easy in the middle of a match or in the middle of a game for them. But then there's all of that work that goes in behind the scenes, the training, the education. It's no different in the business world. You can be an overnight success, but if you really look a little bit closer, you'll notice that a lot of pain and failure led to that moment when you have an overnight success. And some people might think, well, if I had only known that in the beginning, but there's certain lessons that experience has to teach you. There's a lot of things you can learn academically, absolutely. And I would say that sometimes people get caught in that place where the fear of not knowing enough keeps them from actually taking what they know and making money from it. And at the end of the day, if we're talking about entrepreneurship, if we're talking about business, we're talking about money. And what I discovered, something that I didn't believe in my earlier days, is it's just as easy to serve a multi-million dollar client and work with them as it is to serve a local mom and pop business when we're talking about online digital businesses. Now, what do I mean by that? What I mean is design, whether you're talking about a low-end or a high-end client. SEO is SEO. Yeah, there's little nuances like Google Business for local type businesses that aren't selling internationally. There's that, but the basic laws of SEO apply across the board. And again, there are a few differences. Same thing with social media. Social media is social media, whether they're talking about a big business or a multi-million dollar business. The principles don't change in any of it. And so in the beginning, oftentimes we put our heart and soul into catching small fishes. And if you catch small fishes for most of your life, your confidence grows in duplicating that over and over and over again. But then in the back of your mind, you begin to wonder, what if I caught a big fish? What if the big fish could feed me even better than all of these little small fishes combined? And if you've never thought that, all of us think this way, but if you've never actually taken that leap of faith and gone after a bigger, better, we can even say famous client, then it's worth doing so at least once in your lifetime. Now, those of you who meet people who are famous in any given space and you begin to know them and become comfortable with them, one of the main things that you've discovered, beside their superpowers aside, if we put their superpowers aside, it could be anything, their ability to design, their ability to strategize, their ability to understand what the opposition is thinking and stay one step ahead. When we put those kind of superpowers aside, they are just people like we are. They have the same challenges, the same thoughts, the same everything. It's just that the people who are successful have found a way to overcome the negative thoughts a lot better than the people who aren't succeeding. So I want to talk about some things today that will resonate with all of you, whether you're a business owner, marketer, entrepreneur. I want to talk about things like overcoming fear. Now, some of you may say, well, Jim, I'm not afraid of anything. All right. Well, let's substitute the word fear for concern or worry. The things that concern you, the things that are in the back of your mind kind of gnawing away a little bit here and there when you think about your future, when you think about your money, your finances. You know, the greatest fear of all, of course, is fear of death, right? That's the one thing that most people don't look forward to try and avoid talking about or really thinking about in great detail. But death is really loss when you come right down to it. And we fear loss of all kinds of things. You know, we fear loss of money, we fear loss of relationships, we fear loss of friends. I'm not saying that you actively are up every night worrying about these things, but I'm saying that this, like a cloud hangs over sometimes areas of your life at different points in your life. And if you're an entrepreneur, you're a marketer, you're a business owner, then you know what I mean by having to deal with these things that can keep you up at night. Next, I want to talk about resilience, how important resilience is. I'm in a good place to talk about it finally at this point in my life because I've spent over 20 years figuring out how to grow in that area. And then I want to talk about marketing strategy, the kind that builds success. So if you've ever felt pressure to make your clients' marketing work faster, make it work better, or do the same with your designs, or do the same with your service, or do the same with your business, if you're felt the pressure of making what you do more effective, or if you've let past losses haunt your future decisions, I can raise my hand there. I remember just out of college, suffering a loss, getting to the point with one of the first larger companies I worked with. I could tell the manager wasn't happy with me. My education in the university wasn't good enough to get me up to speed with what was actually happening in the field at the time. And the feeling like I had two choices, to quit or get fired. And I was so worried about the axe falling. I didn't know how close it was to me, but I went to sleep every night thinking about it. Is this going to be my last day, my last week, my last month? And those thoughts paralyzed my ability to perform at the workplace. Maybe paralyzing is an overstatement. Let's just say they impeded the flow. They kept me from being at my best. So sometimes certain things, they don't stop you, but they're slowing you down enough where you're not doing what you're capable of doing. So if you understand that, this episode is absolutely for you because I'm going to talk about these things. I'm also going to talk about how AI can be your secret weapon. And I want to remind you why fighting to succeed will always be better than focusing on the fear of failure. We can't focus on a whole lot of things at once. You can't focus on moving forward and making what you're doing better. You can't focus on learning how to become a better marketer or focus on learning how to do SEO or focus on being a better designer or focusing on building a better business or choosing a different business model and at the same time be thinking about failure. You can only hold one thought in the forefront of your mind. And when you're fighting to succeed, that same energy is focused in a better direction than, oh my gosh, are we going to lose a client again this month? Are current clients happy? What can we do to not make them think about our business in a negative light? That's fearing failure. So let me just start by saying I 100% get it. Running a business, running a marketing agency, running any kind of digital business today, especially if it's a service. And let me say this, services are great, especially B2B, I found, because in the worst of times, you can be making a lot of money. It doesn't make any difference how bad it is, because when you're working with clients that need to spend money to make money, then if you're doing what you're getting paid to do and you're doing it well, then you don't worry about money. Money doesn't keep you up at night. When it's time to buy a car, instead of taking out a loan, you just write a check out for it. You buy it in cash. I understand what it's like, however, when you're running a business and it feels like you're standing in quicksand. You're working hard, you're trying to deliver results, but the ground beneath you always feels like it's slowly shifting. Algorithms change. Clients have high expectations. Budgets are tight. And sometimes it feels like you're one failed campaign away from a complete disaster. That fear is real. I felt it before. I know what it's like. It can keep you up at night. It's the fear of losing a client, of not delivering what you promised, of seeing your reputation take a hit. Maybe you've even been haunted by past losses, where all of the things that I'm talking about now have actually happened to you in the past. Times where a campaign didn't go as planned, or when a client let you go. Here's the thing. Fear clouds your judgment. If it doesn't paralyze you, it'll slow you down enough and make you reactive instead of proactive. And when you're reactive, you're always on the defensive. And when you're on the defense, you're just trying to keep what you have. You're trying to keep from losing what you have. When you're proactive, though, it's much different. So fear clouds your judgment. It keeps you. We can say worry clouds your judgment if you don't like the word fear. We could say being concerned about your business, overly concerned, will start clouding your judgment, and it will keep you from seeing solutions that oftentimes can be right in front of you. So you can flip the script completely, and instead of fearing loss, you can focus on fighting for success. There's a huge difference there. It's like flipping a switch in your mind. You just have to get tired of being afraid. You have to get mad at yourself. You have to get tired of worrying about what's in front of you. I know a lot of people, like I did, I quit before I got fired because I saw it coming and I didn't believe that I had the ability at the time in my 20s to fight for success successfully. I believed I was fighting a losing battle, so it was easier to lose on my own terms and quit. But let me tell you something, that failure haunted me for a good decade. It would come back and it would be like a specter over every new thing that I was starting. And finally, these days, I can still remember it, but I don't have that feeling anymore. Now, that was a long time ago. Feels like it was in a different life. And wouldn't it be good if your fear of failure, if you got to the point where it felt like that was a different you, that was a different time, that was a different life. The current you isn't afraid. And when fear comes, and it will, the temptation, I should say, to fear, the temptation to worry, the temptation to stay up thinking about your problem a little bit longer instead of letting it go and going to sleep at night, the temptation will come. You just have to learn what it's going to take for you not to give in to that temptation. You're going to have to learn what it's like to get from that mindset into let's fight for success. Let's go down swinging. If we're going to get fired, if this campaign's going to fail, if we're not going to be able to deliver the result, it will not be for lack of trying, and you're not going to take the easy way out. You're not going to be the one to quit. They'll have to fire you because you're going to retool, reorganize, refocus, and you're going to get back into the fight as long as there's a fight to get back into. Clarity comes in. On the spiritual side of it, this is where praying comes in. If you have faith in God, you believe in God, this is where you ask for help. This is where you don't give in. This is where you ask God to give you the strength to not be afraid, to give you the strength to want to win. Because when you win, everybody in your life wins. Your friends, your family, everybody close to you, your relationships, everything changes for the positive. And when you know you can win and another problem comes in another area, you see, success breeds more success. You know, you've probably heard this before. I've heard it before. I don't want to talk about it from this plastic, unrealistic, you know, cheerleader trying to say, hey, we're all going to do great. We're all going to be, you know, multimillionaires or anything like that. Who knows? Maybe we will be multimillionaires over the next year. But I'm trying to approach this topic from a realistic place, understanding the feelings, the attacks, how these things come, and how you can learn, and here's the key, learn how to beat them. And it's not that they'll never come back again. They will come. You will have to fight. You just have to be in that place where you're okay identifying as a fighter and not, let's say, a quitter. So never throw in the towel too early. If something isn't working, don't give up. Here's what you can do. I'm not saying that there's never a time to quit a business or go into something else. I'm just saying that quitting is a habit. And it happens in one area of life. It's easy for it to happen in other areas. But so is winning. Winning can be a habit. So you may have to rethink it. You may have to reimagine it. You may have to experiment with new ways, new approaches forward. And as a marketer and as a business owner, we're not just problem solvers. We're also creators. For those of you who think, you know, I'm a lousy business person. I'm a great designer. I'm not so good as a business person. You have to realize that your creativity isn't limited to graphics. Your creativity isn't just limited to what you see on a monitor or what you're sketching out on a piece of paper in front of you. Those who are visual can use that same kind of thinking to find creative problems for businesses. There's two ways to solve it. There's analytical and there's creativity. Usually both of them can work together, but you can develop your analytical side when you're also while you're using your creative side and vice versa. So if something isn't clicking, I realize that number one, sometimes I'm just a little too close to it. I need to step back. I need to ask some questions. Sometimes I need to walk away from it for a day. Recently, I took on a new client and I was looking at what they had. I was looking at the competition, lots of competition. I was looking at the traditional ways of doing things. And then I told myself, I have to understand the box that I'm working in. In order to work outside the box, I have to understand the constraints of the box. Really, boxes are just the things that we create that we can show someone. Here's a business model. Here's how we do this, this, and this. But when this, and this aren't working, then you have to say, okay, now we have to do something different, which means we have to think outside of the usual parameters. How can we do this? One of the easiest way to do this is to look at how other businesses and other niches solve their problems, because business is business. And I mean, Eli Whitney, the guy that invented the cotton gin, looked to nature to invent that. I think a cat was clawing at something. Was a cat clawing at a piece of... this is a story I heard a long time ago when I was like 10 years old. Was it a cat clawing at a piece of cotton or trying to get to something? Anyway, looking at something in nature gave him an idea for the cotton gin. Same thing was with Tesla. The original Tesla, not the company, where he got his ideas from nature, a lot of them. A lot of the technical ideas came from getting out of the lab and just looking at how the world around him was working. And so sometimes you just have to give yourself permission to walk away from something for a day or two and look at it from a completely different angle. So here's something that I want to add to this, because it's a truth. Once I focused on this, it changed a lot in my life about how I looked at success and even the time that I was investing in my business and in this field. Your client's success is your success, which means their struggles are also your struggles. When you feel that connection, it fuels your creativity. It fuels your commitment. And guess what? That's something 98% of your competitors don't do. So most of my biggest wins have come because I have put myself into a client's business like it was my own. I looked at their bills as though they were my own. I felt the losses and disappointments as though they were my own. I didn't compartmentalize what I was doing and just say, well, I'm just in marketing, helping sales, advertising, online, all that. And then they got their business over here. They can focus on that. No, I wanted to know how every part of it worked. I wanted to know how the industry worked. I wanted to know the history. I wanted to know all of it until I felt like I was in it. But, and this is the key, you can't give that level of commitment unless you're being paid fairly for your time. You need clients who understand the value of what you do and are already invested in their own growth. If someone isn't spending at least, I'm just going to throw numbers out here just for the sake of keeping the conversation going. So you may have to adjust the numbers if you live in a country where this is unrealistic. But if someone or in an area within a country that's not where this isn't realistic, but if someone is spending, let's say, at least a few thousand dollars, if they're not spending at least a few thousand dollars a month on marketing, they're likely not ready for the kind of results that you being in partnership with them can bring to the table. So let me just say that again. Now, you may have to adjust that for what you're doing. But if someone isn't willing to invest a few thousand dollars a month on marketing, let's say you're a marketing person or advertising, whatever service that you're doing, right? If you're not going to be able to provide the return on the investment and they're not willing to make the investment, and you're going to take their success as your success, their struggles as yours, you're going to be connected and committed. If they're not willing to spend that money or they're not capable, then you're probably not a good fit for them. Okay, you're probably not a good client. That's what you got to understand. So many people waste a lot of time going after clients that are not going to enable them to get ahead in life, are not enabling them to get ahead in business. I'm not saying that you don't help who you can help, but you've got to take on clients that will get you into the income level that you need to be at for where we're at this point in the world today. I don't know a clearer way that I can put that, but you're going to have to look at the time you're investing and say, wouldn't it be better to invest in someone who's going to pay me several thousand dollars a month than someone who maybe is going to pay me, you know, 1/20th of that? That somebody's going to pay me $50 a month. Hey, if somebody's paying you $50 a month, that's great, especially if hundreds or thousands of people doing that. But if you're just local and you just have people paying you low dollar amounts every month, I'm not going to say to turn away that money, but I'm going to tell you to look up from where you're at and look at something bigger, better to work towards. Don't settle for where you're at, because what's going to happen is you're putting in the same amount of time, the same amount of energy, and getting a result and getting paid just a little amount of money for it. Sooner or later, somebody, and hear this, guys, especially if you're married or have a girlfriend, but if you're a woman, it's the same thing. Women seem to understand this a little better than men, but you know, the other person's going to resent you being buried in your work all the time. And then, you know, you're barely making X amount of dollars a year or X amount of dollars and you're still struggling. If you're working around the clock and you're still struggling, then you're going after the wrong type of client. You might as well have a job. And I don't say that to discourage you. I say that to make you mad and to get you to the point where you can believe, and I can believe that you can do it, because it's just simple math. You work with people who are used to spending several thousand dollars a month on the kinds of services that you provide, and guess what happens, right? You're in a totally different income level, and it can happen faster than you can imagine. Let's talk about AI. Let's talk about the edge that it's brought. Not only into my business, but lots of businesses now are experiencing this. It's not just a buzzword. It's been a game changer for me for the last 2 years. In my agency today, AI does the heavy lifting. It handles tasks like data analysis. It handles content creation, even predictive trend modeling. And this frees me up to focus on the big picture of strategy and execution. And here's what's great about AI. It saves you time and money. A lot of people are out there today, you know, selling AI services thinking this is the future. To me, that's the box. To me, out of the box is use AI to extend what you can do far above and beyond what you were ever capable of doing. Let's say if this was 2017, 2018, 2019, or 2020 again. AI is going to save you time and money. It's going to allow you to offer clients competitive pricing without cutting corners. Most importantly, it's going to give you insights it would take a team of analysis weeks to uncover. If you're not using AI yet, don't feel overwhelmed. You start small. You use it for SEO research. You use it for email campaign optimization. I'm talking about my field now. You use it to generate content ideas. AI, in my opinion, isn't here to replace me. It's here to amplify what I do best. So instead of looking at AI as a threat, maybe it will be a threat at some point in time, but it's not right now. And we're alive right now. We're not talking about what may or may not be 2 or 3 years from now. Right now, today, it's here. And you can use it to amplify what you do best. And when you position yourself as someone who's leveraging cutting-edge tools to deliver results, you're no longer just a vendor. You become a partner, right? That's what you need. You need partners, successful people that you can make even more successful. And they have the capacity to reward you for the time, energy, and talents that you're investing in making their businesses better. And this comes back to the clients. Let's talk about them for a moment, because not every prospect is a good fit. That's fine. That's okay. A lot of you, I would just look at your past as this. You paid your dues. You've paid your dues. Now it's time to take it to the next level. If someone is incapable of investing in their growth, that's one thing. If they're not already investing in their growth, that's yet another thing. You know, it's going to be an uphill battle to convince them to invest in you. Your ideal clients are the ones that see marketing as an investment, not an expense. They're spending money on ads, they're spending money on SEO, they're spending money on branding because they understand that growth requires resources, especially when there's money to be made and there's a lot of competitors out there. For those of you listening, if you're in a big city or a high-cost area, this is especially important. You have to charge enough to make your work sustainable. And let me tell you, you're worth it. Your family's worth it. Your kids are worth it. The value you bring, even if it's just you and you alone, you're worth it. It's time. It's time. Nobody's going to tell you it's time or it's your time. You have to decide, hey, you know what? It's 2024, almost 2025. It's time. This is my time. So the value you bring, the insights, the strategy, the ability to execute, it's priceless when you pair it with the right type of client. When you find the right type of client, then you know that, okay, the next client needs to be just like this person. All right, let me say this. I could go on and on, but let me just say that I want to wrap it up about here. I've given you a lot to think about, I think. This is probably worth going back and listening to this episode again a few times because I packed a lot in here. I packed it in as short as amount of time as possible. Shorter than I usually do. I want to come back to the fear of failure, though, again, before we wrap this up. Because most of us have been burned before, right? We've been burned by people that we didn't think would ever burn us. We've been burned by projects that we thought were going to take off, and they never took off, right? All kinds of experiences you have when you're around for long enough. Maybe you're thinking about a campaign that flopped or a client that left. Maybe you totally blew it. And now you're second-guessing everything you do. Here's what I want you to know. It's up to you to not let the losses define you. They're just, as somebody once said, movies playing in your mind, rehashing what went wrong. When you watch that movie, you get the same feelings that came with the experience, and it brings you to a lower place. But I'm here to tell you that that's not happening anymore, and that doesn't have to happen that way again. That's not where you are today. Every situation is unique. Every client is different. Every time period is different. And every challenge is really an opportunity to grow. Challenges are going to come. The only way the challenges don't come is if you just give up and you just get by. But you know what? After a while, you either got to get sick and tired of getting by. You've got to be sick and tired of taking the easy, fearful approach. And you've got to see what you're capable of doing. Hey, you know what? If you go out there in the ring against the champion of the world and you give it your best shot and you get knocked cold, you can still say that you fought for the highest, biggest prize in the land, so to speak. Right? No shame in losing. The shame is in quitting or playing in such a way that you're always on the defense. You got to see what you're capable of doing because those are the experiences in life that will completely transform you. It's like the person who never worked out this and decided to get in shape and gotten the best shape of their lives, how that transforms that person. It's the quiet person who put themselves out there and, well, as a result of it, had secured the kind of relationship they didn't think was possible for them. It's the young or old person who is tired of the situation they're in, tired of just getting by, and wants to start a business, and there's nobody around them who's going to cheerlead them. They're on their own. Every single one of us, male, female, young, old, somewhere in between, know what it's like to be in the world today. We're all familiar with the challenges. We all face them. I can sum it up by saying this. Stop worrying about what might go wrong and start focusing on what's possible. Be willing to fight for success. I know we think deep down on the inside that we are willing to fight for it, and there's some of us definitely are, but at the same time, you're worrying about the things that might go wrong. Do you see where we're going with this? You get pulled in one direction, you get pulled in another. Sooner or later, you have to come to the point where you're no longer worried about what might or might not work. Well, you have to let it go and not care. So wins and losses, all of those things in the past is behind you. What's going to matter now is what you do today. So thank you for spending this time with me today. If you found this episode valuable, go ahead, subscribe. I'll put out another one next month, probably before the end of the year. Share it with someone who needs to hear it. Leave a review if you want. I'd love to hear your thoughts. I'd love to hear your own story. So reach out to me. I'm at jimgagliano.com. There's a contact form there if you want. Leave a comment. So until the next time, have a great rest of your day, and I'll talk to you later.